Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Okay, I would have, I was preparing to not have any visuals for the sermon, so I kind of just have a sheet of notes. But yeah. Anyways, good morning, Life Church.
Good morning.
I'm so honored to be standing here. It is a very interesting kind of full circle moment of speaking in the church that I was raised in, but I am so grateful for you guys and trusting me in this process. And yeah, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, Lord, I thank you so much for this day that you have made. I thank you for the opportunity to be up here and speak your word. I thank you so much for Life Church and the way that they have continued to foster my relationship with you. And I just ask that you speak through me, let this word be true and pleasing to your ears, Lord. I pray all these things in your darlings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, my father has been talking about systems for the past month and some change. And when I was going through this passage, I definitely approached it through the lens of thinking about systems. We spent almost a month thinking about systems. And that's kind of where my head was when I was approaching John 5, but specifically the first part of John 5, with Jesus' interaction with a man at the pool of Bathsheba. And there is a lot in this passage. But I think the one thing that I really I saw sticking with me was the idea that God, or this man, is living in a couple of systems that are basically basically dictating how his everyday life is going, the kind of the way he sees himself, kind of the way why he's been at this place for so long. Good morning. And so, yeah, I kind of want to look through that with you today. And my hope and desire is that this is something that I can kind of present to you, but also get ideas bounced back. Because I won't lie, preaching was never really my strong suit. But one thing I know I can have is a discussion. And so just like I am looking at this text, I want to look at this text together and see what you guys are thinking. So if I could have someone read for me verses 5 through 14 of John 5. That would be amazing. This is on there, I don't know. Yes, 5 through 14. Oh, sorry, 1 through 14. Apologies, it says 5 at the beginning, I got confused. 1 through 15. I'm so sorry.
The healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed and had no idea who it was, but Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well.
Amen.
Amen.
One thing that we talk a lot about in this church that I definitely see very prevalent in this passage are the cultural systems in which we are living in, the cultural river in which we are swimming in. And the cultural river that we're swimming in is constantly telling us what is the right and wrong way to do things. Like, for example, the cultural river that we're swimming in right now is an American river. The American river tells us that when we have a problem, a medical problem, we go to a medical professional. We don't go up to the top of a mountain and we ask for healing. That's worked for a lot of people, but that's not what the culture tells us to do. The culture tells us to go to the grocery store when we're hungry and not to pick up a bow and arrow. But I want to address some of the cultural systems that we can kind of learn about from Jesus' interaction with the disabled person at the pool. But first, I wanted to watch kind of the Chosen's rendition of this scene. I think they really did a good job with the scene. But before I do that, I also want to talk a little bit about the passage itself. One thing that's super interesting that I did not even know about this passage is that John 5 verse 4 is completely omitted in most modern translations. I think we looked at it in the car, and it is in the King James Version. But verse 4 basically gives a lot of context to this passage and what's happening, why there are so many disabled people gathered around the pool. And from what I can remember, the gist of what verse 4 says is that an angel of the Lord would sometimes stir up the water, and the first person to reach the center of the pool would be healed. The scene in The Chosen, I think they take a little bit of an interesting take where they attribute it as like a pagan god, and people are going to the pagan god that look for healing. I don't fully know what the truth and the answer to that is, but one thing that I do know is that there's people placing this hope in whatever this truth is. And yeah, so let's watch this together and kind of visualize it.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
It's such a powerful interaction, and I really love the way they portray that scene. I think so. What I kind of wanted to, I was going through this passage, and I was thinking about why. In the scene, Jesus asks him, "Why were you here for 38 years, pushing up to 40 years?" And I think the thing that I was thinking about was there are systems in place that are making him stuck where he is. Because, yes, obviously he can't literally walk. But I think in the passage it mentions that nobody is helping him to the pool anymore. There were people who were helping him to the pool at some point. For 40 years, he never asked anyone to help him get away from this place. So at some point, it became a decision to stay here for the remainder of his life. And so the three systems that I recognize in this passage that I kind of want to talk about today are pretty relatable to some of the systems that we see in our own lives. And the first one is being a system of competition. Second one is a system that produces powerlessness. And the third one is a religious system that is more committed to rules and restoration. So the first one is a system of competition. Regardless of whether or not the pool actually healed anyone, we know that people believe the pool healed people. And so obviously, the first one who gets there is the one who gets healed. And I think instead of helping other people out, it was like at another one's expense is what it costs to heal people. So whether or not the pool actually healed anyone, the man clearly believes he is trapped in a competitive system where he has to be first, despite his physical barriers to doing that. Everyone around him needs something, but each person's chance at healing seems to come at someone else's expense. I was kind of relating this time to some of my own experiences. I just come out of college. So my most recent example of this is kind of like, I don't even know what to call it. I think the best way to call it is LinkedIn culture. And it's one where it's just like, David, you probably never noticed at Northeastern. But careers is kind of like everyone's main focus. It's like, all right, who is going to get the best job? Who is going to get the most money? And people really found worth in those things. I think for me, there's a point where it's just like, okay, am I doing enough? Where is my worth in feeling just like I have to perform and perform and perform to make sure I'm on the right track, to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. And for lack of better words, it's very toxic. I think it doesn't lift people up. It doesn't meet people where they're at. And it's just a system that I found myself in, and one that's not representative of what Jesus's plan for me is. I mean, obviously you guys know I am not working a normal job this next year. I won't be making a lot of money, but I am so content with where I am because I've kind of had to let Jesus step into my life regarding where I am and what I think about what is best for my future. Because competing with anyone does not help. And it's been really freeing to actually trust Jesus in this process. So I'm really excited to see what the Lord does over the next year. But secondly, the second system that I recognized was one of powerlessness. Directly or indirectly, I think a lot of systems breed feelings of powerlessness. The man was there for almost 40 years. And at that what point in being in a place do you choose to be here every day? At what point do you expect to live the rest of your life here? And one of the most interesting lines in this passage, I think what verse was this, that they actually repeated twice in the scene that we just watched was, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus doesn't ask him that. Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" He doesn't give a yes or no answer. He instead says, "I need to get to the pool." The system that he is in has taught him, has conditioned him to think that the only way that he can get healed is through the pool. And he has no reason not to believe that. He's never met Jesus. He doesn't have the ability to go to the temple and actually get teachings and learn more about who God is. This is kind of basically his only solution. And the response to Jesus' question shows how his brain is working. He sees his answer as being the first to the center of the pool, but in the end, all it took was a simple act of faith, an encounter with Jesus to be healed. I think most of us haven't been sitting at the edge of a pool for nearly 40 years waiting to get healed. But many of us do live in systems that try to keep us feeling powerless, like there's nothing that we can do, that Jesus does desire to set us free from. Financial systems can keep us feeling powerless. Being broke, it's hard to be broke. It's expensive to be broke, as my dad always loves to say. Once you have bad credit, you're kind of cooked. You file for bankruptcy, you're kind of cooked. because then you can't take loans, you can't make money. You go to prison. It's so hard to get a job after. And all these things that are meant to keep people down and feel powerless, trusting that. Just wanting to learn to trust Jesus with the systems that we're in and learn to help him break down some of those systems. Obviously, we can't, there are some systems that we can't escape. But I think Jesus, like he's saying, he's not asking us what we think the solution is. And so kind of going back to my last example, thinking about powerlessness, I definitely looking for work before I actually committed to Crew was one of the most powerless feelings I've ever been in. And oh my goodness, I think the worst experience I had this year was I made it to my fourth interview with a job. Mind you, this is a job that is going to be paying me minimum wage. But I made it to a fourth interview to be a doctor's assistant at a dermatology office. And right before my fourth interview, I thought the last three already went well. But right before my fourth one, they said they hired someone else. And this goes to show, one, how difficult the job market is, but also just like, for me, in that specific season of my life, the only way I could see myself moving forward in my career was through going into medicine. It was getting a job that is aligned with the future that I have set in stone for myself. And hopefully I'm still going to go into medicine. But I think it's just, I've had so much more peace being able to trust the Lord's process and things. We can't ignore the culture we're living in. I think it's part of our culture to need a job, but we don't want our cultural recessions to get in the way of how God is trying to move. And so Jesus enters broken systems and reveals that they are not sovereign. He sees the people they overlook, challenges the beliefs they create, and calls his followers to participate in restoration when he commands us to turn away from sin. Number three is a religious system that's more committed to rules and restoration. Obviously, I don't want to call too many people out, specifically a Christian nationalist, but I think that's also another system that we find very prevalent in America. The Sabbath was given as a gift of rest and freedom, but the interpretation had become a system that prioritized control over compassion. So this one is the clearest way that I see Jesus breaking systems in the passage. Like, he literally just like, he heals on the Sabbath, challenging religious framework that had lost sight of God's heart. And I don't want to go too much into the Sabbath, because I think there's a lot left in John 5 that goes into this. But I have a video that I stumbled upon when I was scrolling reels. And I didn't know that this was a show, but I saw this scene and I was like, whoa. Basically, it's from Testament, and it's Stephen confronting the Sanhedrin, telling them about how they just missed Jesus. He came, and yet you were so close, you have the word, but you missed it. You missed him. You missed the point. And I really think it kind of shows what it looks like for this specific system to get broken down. So we're also going to watch this clip. I think it's great. I think it's a great clip.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
I don't want to dwell on this too much. The end of the speech, basically him telling the Sanhedrin, is like, you get so close, but you missed it. And I think we start to see the beginning of that interaction here in John 5. That's just another system that one that I really was saddened to see also, just like in the scene, for the Pharisees to see that Jesus was even doing work on the Sabbath, they had to be around these people. They had to be around. And they weren't actively serving this large population of people who were trying to get healed. Which is just to show that religious systems in of themselves can have all the right words to say. They can have all the right words, know the right things to do. But if we're not actually serving people, we're not actually meeting people where they are and trying to meet people's needs. Like, this man's most urgent need in his life is not to be preached at, it's to be healed. And that's exactly what Jesus does when he encounters him. He asks him, do you want to be healed? We see a lot of organized Christianity that looks like this today. When churches lose sight of the heart of God and focus on the little things, Christians aren't condemning people for the little things. The thing that I really wanted to just hone in and leave us with before we go into our time of discussion. But I want to hone on the circumstances that we see the man living in. Most systems, obviously, we can't up and walk away from. Barriers are real and injustice may be real. But Jesus does not allow the system that this man is living in to end his story. Instead, he speaks freedom into his life. And he tells him that his grace is sufficient. So let me pray for us before we close. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you so much for this group. I thank you so much for your word, everything that there is to learn from it. I thank you for the process of continuing to teach us more and more every day. Reveal to us the systems in which we live in that are not of you, that get in the way of the ways that you are trying to move, that get in the ways of the ways that you are trying to show us a new plan that you have for us. Let it be this church, let it be our individual lives, let it be our relationships that we have with other people. We want to see the ways that you will move in ways that we can't even understand or know yet. Help us to be obedient to what you're saying and give us the eyes to see systems that can be elusive to the ways of thinking that we have. So I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I have a couple questions here. Let me see if I can. I can zoom in, but also just like I would love to see what kind of systems you had in thinking of, systems that we're facing in our own lives, and just like how can we address some of these systems? How can we help other people to see the systems that they're living in? I think that's another one I was kind of thinking about when we were when I was going through this passage. But yeah, I was like, how do I help other people to see and understand kind of the things that are holding them back from understanding what Jesus is trying to do? But anyways, that's it for me.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.